Good morning, everyone. This is First Up. I'm Matthew Kaz, in for Aaron Korolnik, who copies me. I was in Mexico. He goes to Mexico. I went to La Playa de Carmen. He's in La Playa de Carmen. But the one thing that doesn't change, the one thing that can't be replicated, is Carlo Koliakovo, my stepbrother. Good morning, Carlo. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, if somebody wants to come in my basement and do my show, and then I could go and do their job or, you know, go on their vacation.
Yeah.
I'm down for it, man. I'm down for it.
You're down for half of that. You're down for going on someone else's vacation while they're doing your job. But I bet there's a lot of people where when you hear what their job is, you wouldn't want to do it. Actually, let's start here. Leafs win. Marner sets, ties the record. Raptors are horrible. Canada taking on Morocco today, 9 o'clock right here on TSN 1050. But Carlo, I got a question for you. Okay. How many of your friends do you really not know what it is they actually do?
I have a lot of friends, Matt. So, like, what are we talking about here?
What I mean is my friends will explain to me what they do. Oh, yeah, no, I'm new accounts manager for CIBC. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And they start to explain it to me. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So to your point when you said, oh, you know, I like to, someone wants to do my job and I'll do theirs. I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know what half of my friends do, at least.
That's a, you know what? That's a quite the revelation, because it's true. I think at least over 50% of my friends that, you know, work a job and it sounds like a cool title, but I really don't know what it is. And I don't think that's just us. I think that's just common in the world. Like,
oh, it is. But we have, the thing is, okay, put it this way. Think about the gap in terms of knowledge of what your friends do. Every one of your friends and relatives knows exactly what Carlo Koliakovo does.
Yeah,
he's
100%.
On the radio. He's a radio host. But then you got a lot of your friends. Oh yeah, I work as head administration for CNBC or whatever. Yeah. Like, just I work at Staples. I'm in charge of shipping and receiving. It's like, well, what are you actually doing? You can explain to your friends what you're doing every moment of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching the Leaf game.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. There's a lot of my friends that, you know, look at my job and be like, how the hell do you do that and get paid for it? I was like, it's a job. What do you mean? Like, I've got to get up early every morning. I've got to come up with content. I've got to talk about stuff because, you know, I've got to know what I'm talking about because people are listening and I'm trying to educate them and trying to get them to understand my philosophy or my, my side of things.
Your bigger picture analysis of what's going on in the world.
Right. And, you know, I can't just be a guy that just is a spot filler, you know, or a guy that just because I'm good looking, you know, comes and does a show on radio.
I got my job because of my abs. I don't know if you know this, but for my job interview, they said, just pull up your shirt. I'm like, this is offensive, but I did.
Wait a minute. And they did that. That was your interview process too?
It was basically, do you have a deep V? If you got a deep V, you got the job. That was it.
See, I'm glad you said that because I got this job right out of my career. Like I played my last year in Europe. I was in great shape. That's a great physical condition. I was working out nonstop, and I guess you go in, you pull up your shirt, you show them the V, you show them the 8-pack, and you're like, okay, you're dude, you're done.
That's it.
And then because they know, I think the boss of this job knows that once you start like that, there's no way you're finishing like that because this job you sit around a lot, you. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Hold
Matt,
on. But... No, Carlo. It's the opposite. Wait, do you not have the same thing as me? Every 2 months, I get called in for an ab check. And if I go lower than a 5-pack, I get fired. Thankfully, I've been able to maintain both ripped and shredded.
But well, thankfully, I haven't been doing that because I would have been fired a long time ago.
But the bigger point is that the one gift we give our friends is our friends know exactly what we do. Like, I got some of my oldest friends, and like one worked for a mining company and helped people invest in metals. I'm like, I don't know what any of that means.
No,
I literally have no idea
what
any of that means.
You know what's funny too, Matt, is that there's jobs out there that people will tell me they do, and it sounds like a really cool job. It's probably a really well-paying job, but then I wonder, when you try to think about what the job is, how many people in the world actually buy things from that job. Well, you'd be surprised, because there's a world like cryptocurrency is a perfect example.
I have no
idea
what that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, when cryptocurrency became popular, even NFTs, when they became popular, and the market for it just exploded, and people were telling me that they sell this and they sell that, and all I kept saying to myself is, who's buying this stuff? Who's buying NFTs? Who's buying those top shots from the NBA? You know, those virtual cards that sell for hundreds and thousands of dollars, or cryptocurrency. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, when I go buy something, I want to know it's either in my bank account or I have cash to buy it. Like, I don't understand any of this stuff.
Carlo, I'm going to take this one step further, okay? There's one thing I still go in the bank for. I don't get checks often, but if ever I have a check, I cannot put it in an ATM machine or this.
Yeah, no, you have to go deposit it in a check or in the bank.
I got to go to a human and, how you doing today? And yep, check. And then like, I hand the check to a human and they deposit it. Like, people that will take a photo of their check and it goes to their account.
Deposit it.
What sort of voodoo is that? Get out of here. I need to go in.
I can understand why that would be difficult for you, because for the longest time you had a BlackBerry. And
but not anymore.
Not anymore.
I got a Motorola. I don't know what the hell I have.
You got a flip phone now. Oh, okay.
No, I wish. Right, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
They have those now. Did you see the flip phones that come out now? And
what?
when you open up, it's like it turns into a flat screen, like the iPhone.
Does it have a keyboard?
Not sure. I'd have to actually look that up to be sure. But
phones are getting bigger and bigger, yet no keyboards.
Did you ever get into cryptocurrency?
No, of course.
Yeah,
not.
Like,
no, I never understood it.
Never
no,
understood
crypto,
it. Glad
no
I never
Bitcoin,
got into it. Like, Bitcoin's
no
another thing. Yeah.
No, none of that. I still have cash in my wallet. if I grab my wallet right now, there would be actual hard currency in it. Right
so.
Now.
I got made fun of for the longest time because my wallet literally would be an elastic. And I remember, like, for gag gifts at Christmas, like, I would get bags of elastics given to me, because people are like, well, you don't use a wallet. And a reason why I don't use a wallet is because I carry, you know, a bunch of cards on me, but I also carry cash. And I just keep it wrapped. It's easy. I get to see it. I get to feel it. And, you know, wallets are just bulky and stuff like that. And I'll be honest with you, Matt, I've totally converted to plastic and credit every time I purchase something.
No cash at all? No cash.
No, but hear me out.
Yeah.
Debit or credit. And every time, I always like carrying some sort of cash on me, whether it's $100, $200, whatever it is, something on me. I have to carry it.
Yes.
But it's so now I have a money clip. So the money clip, the cards are inside my cash. The cash is outside. Clip my money clip. I can't tell you how long the cash on my money clip has been there, because usually, like, when I run low, I load up, you know, with a nice chunk, and I keep it in there until, you know, I use it for, you know, a golf bet that I'm on a golf course with, or I'm at my buddy's house on Sundays and we have to chip in for food that we order and stuff like that. But honestly, I can't remember the last time I've reloaded with the cash, because I still have the cash there from probably a month or two ago. Because I use credit and debit everywhere.
I'll give you one other quick story, and then I got like a big picture question for you. And we'll again, congratulations to Marner tying Eddie Olczyk and Sittler 18 straight games with a point.
Man, was that exciting yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Today's show's packed. We're only on for 3 hours because Canada, Morocco.
Woo!
No, today's a four-hour day. We got Bills and Patriots to preview.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, there's so much. But do you know what I once did? I went into that goofy Apple store. and I forget what I bought. And you know what I did? I brought cash with me just because I wanted to see the employee. Where do they keep the register?
No.
Where do they keep the register? I brought out the cash, and they had a special drawer that they had money in it. Yes.
No. I know why you brought cash.
Why is that?
Because you were hoping to negotiate a better deal with the people at Apple Store, saying, hey, it's $900 because it's taxed as in. If I pay you cash, can I save on the taxes? And somebody would have looked at you like, dude, what are you talking about, man? Pay what it's worth.
I know it's $923. Here's $700 bills. Why don't I just give that to you? You give me the phone, and you know what? Let's go on our way. Let's go on our 100%. Way.
100%. That's what you tried to do. You tried to walk into an Apple store and hoping that you would get something off of the black market on the street.
Yeah. What's your name, Ted? Ted, you know what, Ted? How about, let's make a deal here. It's a busy store. You're busy. I'm busy. Here's $700 bills. They're crisp. You take that. I'll take my product. We'll have a good day. Let's hug it out. Hug it out.
Yeah. No negotiating. You just take it. It's a good deal. It's a sale. You get the commission on it. We're good.
Question for you, Carlo. What does meaningless mean when it comes to Team Canada taking on Morocco today? Now, they can play the role of spoiler. You know, they beat Morocco. Morocco, they ain't making it. And for Morocco, by the way, they've made it out of the round of 16 only once, and that was back in 1986. What I'm fascinated about is what does, you know, this game mean for John Herdman, for Alphonso Davies, and for all of Team Canada. As you know, that's what I'm. One of the most fascinating things I am about today's match.
You know, my question to you is, Matt.
Yeah.
Why is it December 1st already?
Ugh.
Where the hell did November go?
I don't know. It's the worst. You know why? Okay, forget sports then. If we're going to hear, here's why December 1st is a little more stressful. If you are someone who celebrates Christmas, December 1st is like TikTok, MF-er, gifts. Yes. You got all the gifts? Did you buy all the gifts yet? Oh, who have you not bought for? Oh, you got to buy this? Oh, you got to go to the store?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go on Amazon? But you can't buy her that. You don't know her size. You're going to ask her size? Don't ask her size. It's stressful.
Very stressful. Well, coming up after break, I want to ask you if you participate in a certain December 1st tradition.
Oh, I love it. That is the tease. Stick around for that. Plus, Canada versus Morocco. The Leafs beat the Sharks 3-1, and woof, Zion Williamson destroys the Raptors and also Cocaine Bear. It's a ton coming up right here on First Stop.
Cocaine Bear.
Oh, yeah. That's coming up next.
Happy December to everyone listening to us here on First Up. It is December 1st today as everybody starts to embrace for the Christmas holidays, the Christmas spirit, maybe the Christmas decorations. I'm not sure how many people have put up their Christmas tree, but mine's been up for about 2 weeks already. But December 1st always brings on a special tradition in most people's households as they welcome two little Christmas friends. And I'm wondering, Matthew, because you're not a person that has kids, but you are a professional uncle. Do you celebrate welcoming elves on the shelves come Christmas?
I do not. That would be really weird for two adults to hide elf on the shelf for both of them. That would be very, very strange. But I celebrate a different thing. I do not celebrate elf on the shelf. But good luck to you and Gina for coming up with creative spots for it to go. Yeah. What I like to celebrate on December 1st is eggnog is in the grocery store. Oh,
are you an eggnog guy?
Oh, eggnog with a little cinnamon on top of it and, of course, rum. It's a delicious drink. You know what, Carlo? In 2022, we are too divided as a people. I'm sick and tired of hearing about lactose intolerance. In this household, we are tolerant of lactose. Not only are we tolerant, we embrace the eggnog.
Do you spike your drinks, your eggnog drinks, with alcohol?
Of course. That's eggnog.
Only
is
rum?
Eggnog is a dark rum delivery system. in a delicious form that is, it is the thick, curdling loveliness of eggnog. Ah, it's delightful.
I could never get into eggnog. I just can't. I don't know. I don't know if it's the taste or whatever. And I, you know, enjoy a nice glass of milk every once in a while, but I can't do the eggnog, man. It just doesn't do it for me.
You're missing out. I don't know what I'm missing out on
because I'm the one who's got to babysit the elves on the shelves every time they come every December.
Where are they going today? I have no idea, man.
They came in through the chimney last night. I got up early and I didn't want to go searching for them because they could be anywhere in the house. And my kids last night, they knew that today they're going to be coming. And they even said last night, I'm watching the Leaf game with both of my kids as, you know, it's starting. And the conversation that they're having with each other is, hey, we should go to bed early tonight because if we go to bed early, that means when we wake up, the elves will be here. And I'm like, that's a great idea. I think you guys should go to bed right after dinner.
Yeah, exactly. And you shouldn't make any noise and do all your homework for the next 6 months. Did it feel like in last night's game, what is the balance if you're a Mitch Marner teammate in trying to feed him the puck versus trying to get the win? Leafs win 3-1. The sneaky important story is Samsonov came back and he was great. Leafs were that classic sort of early on, a little bit lethargic turnovers, bad giveaways. Thankfully, Sharks shooting wide here and there. But it was one thing I did wonder is as a teammate and a friend, how much of last night was about helping Marner versus we just got to get the win?
Well, Matt, if you had a chance to watch the post game celebration.
It was
when
great.
When Mitch Marner walked into the room and
was
showered with all that water, I think you can understand how important this was to his teammates and how much they care about Mitch and how much they want him to, you know, to be as great as he is and accomplish great things, because that was an awesome scene, an absolutely awesome scene. And to me,
it was.
That symbolized that this team really, really cares about each other and that this team really wants each other to share in each other's success. And it couldn't have been more evident last night. You're in a 1-1 boring type of game.
Yeah.
And every time Marner is on the ice, even late in the game when they had that power play late in the game, it's almost like they were either trying to find him to shoot or they weren't shooting unless the player that had the puck who was supposed to shoot knew that Mitch Marner was one of the two guys that got the puck before they got it.
It felt like there was five Morgan Rileys on the ice. No one wanted to shoot. Just get it to Marner. Just get it to Marner. And by the shout out here, Pierre Engvall. He doesn't score to make it 2-1.
Right.
Then you don't have the empty net opportunity for Marner. Engvall's the real hero. But the best part was when Marner had that first chance with the empty net.
And he passed it.
He passes to Bunting and Babcock. What are you doing? Just put it in the net. Let's go home.
It's almost like if he tried to make a motion towards the bench, the players on the bench would have kept the door closed and said, no, you're staying out here.
We're staying out here.
You're going to try to score. And what a series of events in the last 2 minutes. You know, the first time he passed up the puck, the second time he got the puck, he shot it wide of the open net on a half breakaway. And then obviously right away they create another turnover and he finds a way to bury it. Four games in a row now that he scored. But the significance behind that empty net goal was he was able to keep his point streak alive. Now moves to 18 games, like you said, tying Daryl Sittler and Eddie Olchuk for the Maple Leaf record. And you know, for the fans in the building and the players on the team, it was just such an incredible moment to celebrate because that's what everybody wanted to see. I mean, you probably wanted to see it earlier in the game and maybe in a different fashion other than a 1-1 game. But, you know, I honestly believe that sometime today or tomorrow when they go back on the road, that Mitch Marner needs to go on a dinner date with Pierre Engvall and buy him the biggest steak dinner that exists, because if he doesn't score with 2 minutes left, then Pierre Engvall was the hero last night. We don't have this opportunity for him to celebrate his point streak still being alive. So congratulations to Mitch Marner. It's an incredible feat to think that, you know, we're watching a player play the game right now that still has an 18-game point streak still intact. Think about that, Matt, how incredible that is.
It's incredible. If Engvall gets the steak, David Kampf gets at least a loaded baked potato for the work that he did that led to that Pierre Engvall 2-1 goal late in the game.
And Kerfoot gets the salad.
And Kerfoot, but a good salad. You know, like when they do, they make the really good
crisp
salad.
Romaine salad.
Oh, crisp romaine and the big croutons.
With little bacon, bacon bits on it.
And the crouton's like, I'm not eating carbs. Does a crouton count? No, it's in a salad.
Exactly.
Josh Cloke, who is covering Team Canada in Qatar for the World Cup, is going to join us next. And we'll talk about a game that, is it meaningful? Is it meaningless? We'll discuss that in just a moment right here on First Up. Welcome back, everybody. This is First Up. I'm Matthew Cause in for Aaron Karolnik. He's away today and tomorrow. He is in Mexico. That's Carlo Colaiacovo. Remember, stream us at TSN1050.ca. Don't forget the TSN app. Subscribe, rate, review our podcast. We're going to be getting Josh Cloke on in a second, staff writer with The Athletic. Not just covers the Leafs, also covers soccer and the men's team. Canada taking on Morocco today at 9, a match you can listen to right here on TSN 1050. And what is your plan there, Carlo? Is it just game or the show is done and just roll into the living room and then watching the game? Is it a busy morning for you? What goes on in the Colaiacovo?
Yeah, I haven't really decided yet. I actually just sent a message out to my buddies wondering if anybody wanted to get together for it and then, you know, make a day of it with lunch and then the afternoon slate of games. And then
we work
the Bills game.
And
then the Bills game at night, right? So you kind of make a day out of it. So
it is a full day.
I'm going to wait to hear a response back to see what that setup is going to be. But right now, I have no plans other than just to enjoy 3 hours with you because we are a three-hour show today. And then worry about the rest with what comes with it next.
Hell yes, it is a full day. Well, joining us now live from Qatar, it is Josh Cloke from The Athletic. And Josh, one of the few times I'm having you on and I'm not asking you to grade the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It feels strange, but this is not going to be one of the times that you have me on and I don't ask you to send me a bottle of wine. So still waiting for that one, by the way.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Send him your hotel address in Qatar. He'll send it there now. It'll get there by the time you leave.
I won't send it to the stadium.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to make it across the border, but I could certainly use a glass of wine here for sure.
You know what? I will look up some good stuff from wines that are close to where you are. They do exist. In fact, Northern Africa, the northern part of Africa, is a very famous winemaking region. No time for that, though, right now. What I'm curious about, how much can a win today... How much does a win in 2022, how much will that resonate with Canada's fate in 2026?
Well, it would certainly build, you know, confidence in the team that a win at the World Cup and advancing out of the group is possible, right? Like, I think we have to remember, and especially this is kind of in the lens of, you know, the fact that the United States qualified for the round of 16 and they got out of their group. And, you know, the United States is the team that I think Canada is going to be compared to for a long time for a lot of reasons. Canada has a very, very tough group. And I think we should remember that, right? We, ahead of this tournament, we were thinking, wow, they have to face the number two team in the world in Belgium. And Belgium could end up being the easiest kind of team that they will have played in this tournament.
Right.
So a win against Morocco, I think, gives you that confidence that you can play, you can hang against, you know, pretty much any team, any style of team either. That's the important thing here too, is that, you know, Belgium didn't look great, but they do have individual quality. Croatia, I think, still look really, really strong, really, really smart. And Morocco play an energetic game. So if you can, the thing too is if you can get a win against a team like Morocco that needs a win to go through, that will kind of, again, reinstill that confidence that this team's resilience, which is one of their calling cards, you know, will be enough to get results. We haven't seen that resilience get results here yet, but if you do, you can kind of build on that. So, yeah, of course, nobody in Canada soccer, nobody in the men's team wants to be, you know, they could finish 31st out of 32 teams. Nobody wants that. So So just to get the result, that'll show that the pride that they have can lead to results on the pitch.
Josh, it's no secret that Alphonso Davies is the face of Canadian men's soccer in Canada. I mean, he's a rising superstar in the world of soccer. And, you know, he came in to the tournament with some question marks around surrounding the injury. He didn't come over with the group right away to sort of nurse the injury in his home club in Bayern and made sure that he was ready to play. And I thought he's looked outstanding. In the first game, he misses the penalty kick. He scores Canada's first ever goal at the World Cup. But there was an article that was released the other day, and I believe it was from somebody from the CBC, basically saying that Alphonso Davies is becoming a problem for Canada because he's putting personal pride ahead of team pride. What do you make of when you hear stuff like that? I think it's nonsense that they're trying to stir this pot with Alphonso Davies and Canadian soccer, considering this has been such an amazing thing to be celebrated with Canada playing in the World Cup and Alphonso Davies being the face of Canadian soccer. What do you make of people trying to stir the pot with Alphonso Davies right now?
Yeah, I think what I can offer to this conversation is just some context of kind of being here. I think both of you guys know that, I guess as Canadians, we kind of have a typical view of how players, and by that I mean hockey players in particular, should kind of respond to the media. And I think there is an understanding, you know, and again, we're framing this in hockey because I'm sure there's a lot of hockey fans listening, and that's the comparison. You know, in good times and bad, your best players are the ones that should answer, right? And, you know, should answer for the team's results. And there was a lot of frustration from within the media here over the fact that Alphonso Davies didn't talk to the media before the World Cup, so felt like there was a missed opportunity to just promote, you know, this star player. You know, I can tell you personally, I mean this with sincerity, I went to, you know, Canada Soccer media officials and said, we need to talk to Alphonso Davies. And I said, because, like, we are literally here to promote him and to promote the product. And I know that that might be more of a subjective take, but that's the truth. That we have an opportunity and a responsibility here to talk about all the good things that Alphonso Davies has done. You know, when he doesn't talk after the penalty miss, there was a lot of frustration in the fact that some people, you know, were frustrated, and I honestly think that's fair and natural, because you want to, if Alphonso Davies is going to be the face of the program, then I think, you know, he should probably have to answer for this team's performance, again, good times and bad. When he didn't talk after the goal, you know, he did talk to the rights holders. Again, there was a lot of people that felt this was a missed opportunity to tell the story. So while I understand there is a lot of negativity, you know, I guess just contextually, it's important to point out that there were a lot of people here that just viewed it as a missed opportunity to just add Alphonso Davies' voice to the story, right? And look, this is the bar. Going to the World Cup now is the bar. It's the minimum for this men's national team. Moving forward, not qualifying for the World Cup should be viewed as a massive failure. And so I think with that, you know, that the flip side of that comes that, you know, players have to be, it's a strong word, but, you know, you wonder if players have to be held accountable. And I'm not saying this is specifically about Alphonso Davies. I want to be clear. It's not about Alphonso Davies. I just think that all players, because there were multiple players, I can tell you for a fact, there were multiple star players that declined to talk to the media after Croatia's loss, or the loss to Croatia. And I think there was some frustration there because, look, you look around the soccer world, after losses, after wins, the star players talk, because we know that the words of a star player hold a lot of weight. So there's opportunities that I think a lot of people here on the ground felt were missed to tell the positives of Alphonso Davies' stories. And I think there was a lot of people on the ground that felt, you know, there was some accountability missing there. I know that's a long answer, but just for context, that's kind of what I saw on the ground in Qatar.
And by the way, to Josh, everyone else, ignore Twitter. Twitter gets angry for no reason. The complaints by Joshua, by Bruce Arthur, and by other journalists was nothing personal against Alfonso or any other player. It is a disappointment. It is a missed opportunity to tell stories of these wonderful athletes. But then it gets on Twitter, and everyone just gets angry. By the way, Josh Cloak from The Athletic, Chateau Monsieur. It is not from Qatar. It is from Lebanon, but it's the most probably famous winery anywhere close to you. Big, bold Cabernets. I would recommend that. Canada taking on Morocco this morning. What do we need to know about a team that hasn't given up a goal in like almost 622 minutes?
Yeah, look, they're a team that is probably going to play for a draw today because I believe a draw gets them through. They're a team that can play stingy, and they're also a team that, like, they have a lot of quality. They have a lot of players playing in top five leagues, right? They can play energetic when they need to, and they can play stingy defensively when they need to. And I think, you know, Morocco is going to know, you know, that Canada is going to play full throttle soccer again. John Herdman didn't kind of hide from that in his match day minus one media availability yesterday, essentially saying he's not going to deviate, you know, from the game plan. He's going to want to take the game to Morocco because I do think, and we touched on this, you know, earlier, leaving here with a win, leaving here with a point, that's something to build off of. And I think that's been the kind of Canadian persona for a long time with this team is first to play that kind of plucky underdog role. And I think they're probably going to revert to that a little bit and really try to make life miserable for Morocco, right? I think we should expect some squad rotation, and I think we should expect some fresh legs, which, you know, I would suspect means that, you know, Canada's going to try to play the same kind of pressing game that they did against Belgium. And, you know, I think there were a lot of lineup questions that I wrote about after the Croatia game. So this is just another opportunity for Canada to kind of put their best foot forward, to show that they can play with pride, because you're going to be going up against a Morocco team that, like, for them getting out of this group, a really, really tough group, that's going to mean a lot for them as well. So, yeah, I don't, sometimes with these, you know, match day three games where the results of the group are kind of predetermined, you know, you see kind of a slower, boring game. We saw that the other night with Wales and England, like, not exactly a barn burner. I don't expect that with this game, partly because, like I said, Canada's playing for pride and Morocco's playing to get out of the group.
Josh, always appreciate. You can check out his work in The Athletic. All the best, my friend. We'll be reading, we'll be watching the coverage. And when you ever come home, safe travels, my friend.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Josh.
That is Josh Cloak from The Athletic. And yes, Canada, Morocco, right here on TSN 1050 at 9 a.m. You watch the match. You get a nap in. You wonder why your friends aren't over for lunch. You remember they have normal jobs. They don't work in morning radio. You help your kids. You see what's going on with Elf of the Shelf. And then it's Patriots and Buffalo Bills. Oh, and the Bills win. They could pretty much almost end the Patriots' chances of making the playoffs. So much going on in the world of sports. But coming up, Carlo, on the other side, it's my first time doing this. It's the First Up Scoreboard. Let's see how I do as we go through some of the biggest stories going on last night in the world of sports. That's Kuliakov. I'm Kaz. This is First Up on TSN 1050. Welcome back, everybody. It is time now for the First Up Scoreboard. Take it away, Carlo Colaiacomo.
Well, we'll start, Matthew, in the World Cup, because that's what was the action yesterday morning. And what exciting action in the early slate of games. Team Australia advances to the knockout stage with a massive win, 1-0 against Denmark in that game. And after that we just heard a bunch of this going on in Australia.
Boy, is that a kangaroo around Big Ben? Crikey!
A lot of oys. And in the game that matched that, it was Tunisia with the 1-0 shocker over France. Unfortunately, that game wasn't enough to let them advance. So France and Australia advanced to the knockout stage. And then in the 2 o'clock games, wow, you talk about excitement. Argentina did what Argentina was supposed to do. They ran over Poland 2-0. But the most exciting game on the board yesterday was between Mexico and Saudi Arabia. Mexico, up 2-0, needed that all-important third goal to get them to advance. And instead of scoring that third goal, they gave up a goal.
I know.
To Saudi Arabia in the 95th minute. So Mexico gets eliminated. Argentina and Poland advance to the knockout stage. And that sets us up for the games today. Going to the NHL yesterday, it was a short board. For the NHL, I believe there was only four games that were played, but man, they had excitement written all over them, including the Maple Leafs with a big 3-1 win. Mitch Marner extends his point streak to 18 games, and he did it in dramatic fashion as Pierre Engvall scored a goal with 2 minutes left to put the Maple Leafs up 2-1, and then it was the open net sort of games that went on where Mitch Marner was on there and everybody was trying to feed him, and ultimately he did score in the open net. The Sabres, they win 5-4 in Detroit, and man, was that an exciting game. Buffalo had a 4-1 lead in that game. Detroit comes back to tie it in the third with three goals, and ultimately the Sabres win it in a shootout. The Rangers, they beat the Senators 3-1. Rangers break their three-game losing streak, and the Senators have their two-game win streak come to an end in that game. And finally, the last game on the board yesterday, the Edmonton Oilers go into Chicago. That was a high-scoring game too, man.
Yeah.
What's going on with this high-scoring games in hockey? 5-4, the Oilers beat the Blackhawks. McDavid, I think he had 3 points in that game, and so did Leon Draisaitl. Draisaitl with a goal. Actually, Draisaitl had 4 points. No, Draisaitl, sorry, 3 points, 2 goals, and an assist with three, and McDavid, 1 goal and assist with two. They win 5-4 and keep their winning streak alive.
On the hardwood, only two games really of importance. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Nets. The Knicks, 109-103. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 37 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. The dude the last 5 games has been a fantasy monster. And the best offense that we have seen in the NBA since kind of forever, the Boston Celtics beat the Heat 134-121. Jason Tatum becoming the youngest player in NBA history to reach 900 three-pointers.
Wow.
The Celtics are on the heater of all heaters. They are 18-4.
Wow.
And that is your first upset. Scoreboard.
Let's not forget the Raptors. They suffer a disappointing loss. Oof. In New Orleans, 126-108.
Yeah,
they just couldn't get anything going. And a big story in that game was Fred VanVleet getting ejected in the third quarter with two technical fouls, and the second one that was called on him was just outrageous. Like, come on, ref! He didn't do anything. All he did was complain about him not calling a foul on the play, and the ref teed him up, kicked him out.
It's because Fred had a horrible game. He started at 1 of 8 for 2 points at the half. Scotty Barnes was a disaster. And here's the thing with the Pelicans. They've got one of those guys in Zion Williamson. He is close to becoming that top-tier level player. We'll talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah, 33 points last night in 37 minutes for Zion.
He was incredible. The Pelicans shot nearly 60%. Zion killed the Raptors late, but we'll do that on the side. We're getting heavy here. Let's start with it. Let's get on the other side. And we do need to quickly give a shout out to Cocaine Bear. If you don't know what we're talking about, you're gonna want to stick around. That's Carlo. I'm Kaz. You are listening to First Up
Cocaine
right here on TSN.
Bear.
Oh, it's gonna win all the Oscars. We'll do that next.